Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I brought my water with me. Devil tried to take my voice the first service. I said, no way. Amen. That's why we got a microphone. I told Mike, just turn it up and I'll whisper. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, God is so good. And I've been reading a portion of scripture and looking at it, studying it, hearing things. And just God, you know, wants to bring revelation to us. I'm going to read a chapter here. I'm going to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to read the whole chapter. Some of you went, Some of you said, I've never read a chapter. Well, you get a chance to today. Hallelujah. Amen. So it'll be up here. It'll be on your phone, in your Bible, whatever you have. We're going to read the whole chapter, and we're going to believe God just to minister to us. Amen. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministering by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. The Spirit... And we have such trust through Christ towards God, not that our sufficiency of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who has also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even when what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. You hear how many times he's saying glory? For what was passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit. Praise God. So here you see Paul is comparing the Old Testament and the New Testament, both covenants. He's comparing the Old Covenant with the New Covenant, the powerful ministry of Moses when he was received the law of God. He brought it down to the people. Moses went up on the mountain. He got the Ten Commandments. You know those? You ever watch Ten Commandments on TV? Yeah. Moses comes down off the mountain. He was up there for 40 days and 40 nights, and he didn't eat. The glory of the Lord sustained him. I don't want to brag, but I completed a 14-day fast in 3 hours and 21 minutes. So, praise the Lord. Some of you will get that here soon, but he went up on this hill, and he went and took the tablets, and he brought them down to the people. And he was in the presence of God. He was in the presence of God so much that when he came down off the hill, the presence of God was just kind of clinging to him. The glory of God was all over him. It just kind of, he rubbed up against it and it stuck. You know, it stuck to him, and he was bringing the glory of God down off the hill. And here's these millions of people, 3-4 million people. And when he was there, his face began to shine. It literally shined. It was like a floodlight. He wasn't just glowing. He wasn't just like, well, you've been to the beach for about 2 days and you're a little bit red. He wasn't to the place where, you know, like when you see a new bride, or you see a new mother, and all of a sudden you go, she's glowing. You know, she's glowing. She's got this look on her that she's going, this is my baby or this is my man. You know, something like that. And she's just glowing and stuff. She's in that place. That's what wasn't what Moses had. Moses was literally shining to the place that here's 3 or 4 million people. He comes off the hill and they go, whoa, we got to put on our Ray-Bans here. You know, you are, whoa, what happened to you, Moses? I mean, you are glowing. You are shining. I can't see. And they're in this place where all of a sudden the presence of God is there. And they had to go and, ah. The only thing is the glasses didn't work. The glasses didn't work. He was glowing so much that they went and turned and had to say, Moses, you've got to do something about this. You are shining. You're shining. So he put this thick veil over his head. This thick veil so it would protect them so they could look upon him because the glory of God was so strong. The glory of God was so strong upon him. It's just, it was there. He'd been in it and it just stuck to him. And he was covered with it. But the glory, it says, of the Old Testament was written on laws of tablets. And Paul's saying, it's nothing compared to the glory in the New Testament. The glory that Moses had when he came off the mountain, that is nothing. Nothing compared to what you're going to see in the New Testament. What's going to happen here? What happened when Jesus died? What happened for you? Amen. It's the gospel of Christ has a glory. This is the glory of the new covenant. This is the glory that you and I can walk in. It says, you know, did you see how many times he was saying glory, glory, glory. It just kept popping up in that chapter. Glory, this is glorious, glory, and the glory of God. And what we have to do is we have to say, God, I want the glory. I want the glory. I want to walk in that place. And you wonder, what is this glory about? What is this glory that he's talking about? And as you read it, it's the manifestation of God upon his people and his word. When God manifests himself, there's a glory that comes. When God manifested himself upon Moses, there was a glory that came. The glory there, it's his manifested presence, his manifested power that he's there. It's him showing up. Him showing up in his glory. I'd like God to show up. Amen? I like it when God shows up in the middle of our worship service and his glory comes down. Amen? So we get in that place and we understand that this glory is a manifestation and God is restoring the glory to the gospel. God is restoring the glory of the gospel to his church today. You say, well, the gospel's always been glorious. It isn't always preached in glory. It isn't always preached in glory. Lots of times people are still bound under the law and they're just reading the word and they aren't in that place where the glory is there. The glory he's talking about is an experienced manifestation. He's talking about having an experienced manifestation. God's manifested presence, his manifested power is there and he's restoring it. And God wants to move and touch. This is where the Spirit comes upon it and it becomes alive. It becomes active. It starts doing what it's promised. When the glory comes on the Word, it changes. When the glory comes on the Word is totally different to you. You look at it and it will transform things. The Word alone will not transform anything. The Word alone, how many people have Bibles sitting on their you know, end table and this and that in their house? And that Word sitting there isn't going to do a thing. That Word doesn't do it, but it needs the glory of God upon it. I had a friend of mine, before I was saved, we traveled all over the country, New York to Florida to Alabama to Texas to Arizona, motorcycles and all kinds of things and partying and bad life, under the blood. Hallelujah. That's all I'll say. But I found out years later that all the time we were traveling, he had a Bible in his backpack. He carried a Bible with him. And it didn't transform him. He was not transformed by carrying that Bible with him. It didn't do anything. But when the glory got upon the Word, when he heard the word in glory, when the glory got upon the word of God as he heard it preached, he was transformed. He was saved. He has powerful ministry going to Africa and all over. Has built an orphanage in Africa and a church over there. And he's because of the glory of God. The glory of God transformed him. See, we need the glory of God. You can come to church every Sunday, and if you don't tap into the glory, you can go out of church every Sunday and not experience what God has for you. See, the glory of God will go and come into your life, and it will change things. Paul's talking about a manifested experience, not just doctrine. Not just doctrine alone. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16, says, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved, and among those who are perishing, To one, we are the aroma of death leading to death. To the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for those things?" Amen. Paul's talking here and he says, you are a fragrance. You are a fragrance as you are saved and born again and start to live in this life. And he says, to those who are yielding to God, it becomes an attractive fragrance. When somebody's heart is open to God and you come around them, all of a sudden they go, "I want to be like that person. I like that person. I want what they have. They got peace. They got joy. They're smiling. I know they're going through things, but they got something that I don't have, and I want that." And you attract it. You attract it like people don't see that, and all of a sudden they're drawn to you. They're drawn to you. But to another whose heart is closed and they don't want anything to do with it, it's like a distasteful smell. It says, "Oh, I don't want to be around them. I don't want to be around them. Let me out of here." You ever have somebody, "Let me out of here. I am not going to be around." And they start going off and this and that because you are a fragrance. You are a fragrance. I have a guy at work, and this guy, he's like one of those that just pours cologne on. And I can be walking down through there. I go, "He's here." Don't need to see him. I know he's here. You know, he has this fragrance that comes out all the time, you know. And it's like my aunt, when I was young and stuff, she had this one perfume or cologne or whatever, perfume that she used to wear. Yeah, guys cologne, girls perfume. Thank you. I saw. So she had this one perfume that she'd wear, and she'd come up and give you a hug, and you go, "Oh!" Because it'd be so strong. And after a while, you go, "Oh, I don't want to smell that stuff anymore." You know what I mean? Because it's a fragrance. It's an odor that comes off of you. It's a fragrance, and God wants to give you a supernatural fragrance. Something that you carry that you don't even need to say a word, but it just comes off you. Something that comes off of you, a supernatural scent of God. That they say, "There's Jesus. There's the gospel. There's the answer." Amen. But some of us, we go around and we just kind of, "I want to just dab a little bit of..." I'm not one of these to put on a whole bunch. I just put on a little bit. And it lasts you till you just get to the door. And then they don't smell nothing anymore. Amen. You get in that place, you just put a little bit on. I like these commercials, you know, the crazy commercials. You know, they have these guys that put on these aftershaves, and they're everywhere, and they put on colognes, and they're because they want to attract women and stuff like that. But I tell you something, this is what God wants you to do with His glory. Put it all over you, everywhere, rub it in. So when people get near you, they feel the glory of God to come upon you. They feel the glory of God that's come, a fragrance that comes out, a fragrance that's different, a fragrance that's there. Amen. He says, you are this fragrance. You are this fragrance. Amen. And it gets in you. It gets in you everywhere. Amen. See, in Christ, there's a cloud of glory that you can get in, and it'll get down into your pores. It'll get into everything. So all of a sudden, you're just carrying Him. I knew this guy years ago, and this guy bought one of those juice machines. You know those juice machines there where you throw in celery and carrots and apples and different things. Well, he got a recipe for his cold that said put in 3 cloves of garlic. Well, he thought a clove was the head. Yeah, a clove is just those little things. So he threw 3 heads in the juicer. And he said when it started working, he was going, whoa, he's backing up, going, whoo. And he looked at it and he got this little thing of juice. And he was feeling kind of cold, so he said, okay. He said he shook. He said his whole body started shaking as he drank this thing. He said, it was just in him. And he said, for days he'd be at work. And people go, who's eating pizza? Is it Italian today? What's going on? And he said it was coming out of his pores every time. He worked in a hospital, so there were real, I mean, and he'd be walking down the hall and people would smell garlic coming out of this guy. He got it in his pores. But that's what God wants you to do with the glory. Get it all inside of you. Get it in a place where all of a sudden it just comes out. You don't even notice it anymore. You smell this, and you don't notice. And other people go and get drawn to it. They get drawn to the glory of God. It starts coming through them. Amen. See, I want the glory. I want the glory when I preach. I don't want to just give a message and hit here. I want the glory when I pray. When I pray, I want to get in the glory. Get in the place where I can know Him and be changed by Him and be touched by Him. See, the glory changes everything. If you get in the glory, it'll dry up your tears. You get in the glory, it'll put you on top. You get in the glory, it'll give you the victory. You get in the glory and it changes everything. It changes everything. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. He says, I am hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Why? Because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I am perplexed, but not in despair. Why? Because I cast all my cares upon Him because He cares for me. I'm in a place where I am persecuted but not forsaken, because He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never, never, never let you go. Never let you go. And He turns and He says, I'm struck down but not destroyed. Why? Because I am more than a conqueror in Christ. I am more than a conqueror. And if I get in the glory, that stuff just there, I can know, I can go through my trial. I can go through my situation. I can go through the hard time and say, I'm in the glory. You are there. I can make it. And He says, always carrying the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus. Always carrying that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. That you always carrying the glory. Jesus died for me. Jesus, you changed me. Jesus, you are the one that can transform me. See, this is a demonstration of God. It's an outpouring, a manifestation. It's not something that you just learned about. And it's something where He manifests Himself inside of you and changes you. He changes you because you got in the glory. You weren't just given some religious dialect. You weren't just given some rhetoric, some theology. You weren't given that. You were given, I met Him and the glory came on me. See, you might be in trials, but the glory of God will cause you to triumph in the midst of those trials. It'll cause you to triumph, for all of a sudden you crave His presence. And you say, you know what, I want more of Him. I want more of Him. Where you have joy in a hard time. Where you have joy in the midst of the hard time. That's how you can do like Pastor Mark says, ha ha ha. I laugh, ha ha, ha ha. Ha ha, ha ha. Ha ha. Ha. I'm going to laugh, ha ha. You're in a trial, ha 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 ha, ha ha. And you have to do that. And you understand it's Him. I've been in times where all I can say is, God, I believe. I believe. Amen? I believe because You're glorious. I believe because You've done this. I believe in the midst of this. See, when the glory of God comes upon the Word of God, it changes you. It changes you. When the glory gets on the Word, all of a sudden, the Word comes alive. The Word comes alive. It changes everything. It becomes active. It starts to move. See, this is what Paul is talking about. He's talking about an experience that will change you. And it will change you some more. And it will change you some more. Every time you get in the glory, it'll change you some more. So if you're not in the glory, you need to get in the glory. You need to, if you want to change, you need to get in the glory. And say, God, I want to change. I want to change in my life. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. Says here, he says, you are our letter written in our hearts, known and read by everyone. Paul's dealing with these false prophets. These guys are great orators. They could go and they could hold a crowd. They knew how to speak. And they had these crowds, and what they would do is as you read the beginning of that chapter, they would come and they'd have a letter of recommendation. Maybe Apollos signed it. Maybe Paul signed it. Somebody would say, hey, here's my letter of recommendation. You know, I want to preach at your church. And they say, who are you? Well, look, here's my letter. And they used that, and the people say, okay, you can come speak in our circles group tonight. You know, but what would happen is Paul was dealing with them, but they had no glory. They didn't have the glory. They didn't enter into, they were good orators. They were good speakers. And they would come, and Paul said, I don't have a letter like that, a letter of commendation. He said, I don't speak like that. I don't have those enticing words. I don't come to you in that way. He says, you want to see my letter? He says, you look there, and you look there, and you look there, and you look there, and you look there. Those are my letters of recommendation. Those are people that have been changed. He says, you are the letter. You are the letter, he goes and says. He says, it's not having a piece of paper. He said, you're the letter. You're my letter. He says, look at what they're doing. You want to see the glory in the church? Look at what the church is doing. Look at how they're reaching out. Look at how they're sending to the nations. Look at how they're touching the homeless in this city. You want to see the glory in people? Listen to their testimonies. The people in here that have been changed by the power of God and the blood of God. You listen to their testimonies, you say, that's the glory. That people have been changed. That's the glory that God is doing something and moving and changing things. See, Paul was going, he said, it's not something that's written on the outside in tablets. It's written on the tablets of human hearts. It's written on the tablets. It's not something on the outward like the law is. The law tells you, well, you do this, and you do this, and you do this. Moses' law said, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Well, what can you do? Said, thou shalt not do all these things, and you might make it. You might make it. But this is something that's written in the heart. That God says, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to touch your heart. I'm going to move upon your heart. I'm going to change you. Amen. And you're going to be different. Jeremiah 31:33 says, but this is the covenant that I have made with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds, and I'll write on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Ezekiel 36 says, and I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you, and I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. God says, I'm going to put a new heart in you. A new heart in you. God says, you're not going to be the same person. When I was young, had some hard times. Had some hard times in life. And I remember when I was 17, I took my heart and went click, turned it off. Got hurt real bad. 17 years old. My dad said, it's okay, you can go. And I said, no, no. My mother had died. I was upset. I said, if all there is living and dying, I'm living. And they're all crying. They're all broke up at the house and everything. I said, and I turned my heart totally off to God, turned it off to people. I said, I'm going to do to you before you do to me. Hung around with the wrong crowd, and I started doing to them before they did to me. And I went on for years like that. And when I got saved, I mean, my grandfather died, didn't even go to his funeral. And I love my grandfather. I wouldn't shed a tear. I had a hard heart. And I got to a place when God touched my heart. Got to a place, walked into a little church. God touched my heart. And He ripped out that heart of stone. And He gave me a heart of flesh. And I can cry now. Chick flicks. I got all these girls in the house, and every once in a while I get caught in front of one. Instead of going upstairs and watching sports, I get caught in one of them, and next thing you know. Anyways, let's change that. That's under the blood. Hallelujah. God put a new heart in me. God wants to put a new heart in you. You can be in here and have all kinds of bad things happen in your life. And you can have a heart that seems like, man, I got hurt once. I'm not going to get hurt again. You can have a heart that says, you know, I reached out my hand and they bit it off. And God says, reach out the other one. You can get in a place where you want to go and serve God. And even in the church, you got hurt. Hello. That's why we're here. To get healed. There's hypocrites in church. Yeah, that's where they need to be. It's where they get set free. Amen. You know, you go, you know, and you get in that place, but God will touch them just like He'll touch you, and He'll take that heart that's full of stone and He'll change it. Next thing you know, you got the best friend in the world sitting right next to you. And you said, I really didn't like you. But God does something because He can change you. He will take out the heart of stone and He'll give you a heart of flesh. Look into your heart. See, the Holy Spirit will put a new heart in you and He'll start writing on your heart. He'll start writing on. He's continually writing on the hearts of people. He's continually writing on the hearts of people. Instead of hearts of stone, or on stone, He's doing it on the hearts of people. He's constantly writing messages to you. Anybody do Twitter? One. That's why nobody follows me. Amen. You know, Twitter's where you post these little tweets. You know, you just say something. You say something and they look at it and go, oh, that was cool. You know, and you post these little things. How about texting? Let's do it that way. How many people text? Oh, welcome to the 20th century, 21st century. Ha ha. Praise God. Texting. You know, texting is something because these young teenagers, they can go, and they'll be just, their thumbs are flying. I don't know. They're going to have injuries. But, you know, poke themselves in the eye. I don't know. They're going to, but they can fly. They'll be sitting next to each other, just texting each other. You know, turn to them and say something. You know, they'll be texting. They'll be going on. But God, He's texting your heart. And every once in a while, He just sends little text messages. I love you. You're going to make it. Keep going. The Holy Spirit will talk to your heart and He'll send. We're looking for this massive prophecy. You want to come to church. You want somebody to call you out and say, thus saith the Lord, and give you this large prophecy that's going to turn around your life. When God all the time is just speaking little things to you. And God's saying, I'm going to change you. I'm going to text you. And you can get those all day. Because the Holy Spirit does it all the time. He'll sit there and he'll post little things in you. Some of you haven't checked your Holy Ghost inbox forever. It's full. You haven't checked it. He's sitting there, oh, was that God? Yeah. He's there. He's not going to condemn you. He's not going to condemn you. He may convict you, but He won't condemn you. He'll send you words of encouragement. The Holy Spirit will send word. He'll just text you little words of encouragement. And it'll keep you going. It'll give you a word to tell somebody. It'll give you a word to make it through your day. It'll give you a word to go on. Amen. Amen? Amen. So you go and you have to go and listen. You have to go and be in that place where he can go and encourage you and help you and show you, and he can text you and he can tweet you and he can do all that. You know, I block the devil from texting me. I do. He tries to say, oh, no, that's you. Block. Send that one back. Let it come back on you. Amen? But I listen to what God says. When the Holy Spirit starts to talk, I listen to him and I allow him to minister to me and change me and help me. See, the Holy Spirit is there. He's guiding you. He's guiding you. When you accepted Jesus, you didn't just get a new religion. When you accepted Jesus, you didn't say, well, now I'm going to be a Christian and I used to be a Catholic, or I used to be a this, or I used to be a, you know, that. I'm going to be a Christian now. No, you got a whole new life that Christ died for you. And all of a sudden, the glory of God will come upon you, and the glory of God will change you, and it'll help you. And he'll start to communicate to you in your spirit. He'll start to touch you. And the glory of God will come. Verse 8 says, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious than the one of Moses, than the one of religion, than the one that they had of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant? The New Covenant is going to be so much more glorious that you can step into that glory and you can walk in that glory. Verse 12 said, having such a hope, we use great boldness. Having such a hope that all of a sudden when the glory comes on you, boldness will come on you. When you come out of the place and the glory's there, you can stand and you can speak like you never spoke before. When you get into the place of the glory, all of a sudden you can say things. You can share the gospel like never before. I remember after I got saved, I'll tell anybody. Jesus is alive. Jesus changed me. Jesus is the way. I will go and speak to him. See, it's not theology. The gospel is a theology of experience. It's not something that you get in your head. It's something that you get inside of here that he starts to write. Paul's talking to the Galatians, and he's talking to the Galatians they had all their rules and regulations. They were dealing with it. And in Galatians 3, 1 and 2, it says, oh, foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He's dealing with all their arguments. Here are these guys, and Paul's dealing with their arguments, listening to them, saying, okay, I just want to know one thing. Did you get the glory of the Spirit when you experienced the glory of the Spirit? Was that by the law or by faith? Was it by the law or by faith? Was it by what you did or by what he did? And he just, it's an experience in the glory. It's an experience. See, the Holy Spirit, the glory coming upon your life. When was the last time you just experienced that tapping into the glory of God? Tapping into that place. The last time you felt it in your emotions. The last time you felt it physically. The glory to come down physically. It's here for you. It's here for you that you can tap into the glory of God, and it will change you. This is 2 Corinthians. He's talking about it. It's the fragrance. It's the inner witness. It's the experiencing the glory. That's what he's talking about in this whole chapter. I want you to get in the place where the glory just gets all over you and it gets sticky. Amen. He says, and what Moses' experience faded away. But this one won't. This one won't. You can get into the glory and it'll change you and transform you forever. Just like it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You want to experience freedom? I like being free. I like being free, not being bound. I like being free in every single area. And where the Spirit is, it's time for us to take the veil off and go, wow, check that out. Time to get the veil and take it, and all of a sudden experience God in your everyday life. See, I used to think the way people change, or to change yourself as a Christian, is to, you know, acts of obedience, morals. You know, you start to do that. Okay, I'm not going to do that now. I'm not going to do that. And a few months down the road, you're flat on your face again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'll look this way. Two steps forward, three steps backwards. You're going, I was up there. How come I'm back here? I wanted to change, and you're trying to change yourself. I'm doing a little better. I'm doing a little better. It's like in Romans where Paul says, who's going to go and help this body of death? I mean, I can't do a thing here. I got this bad side of me, and I can't change it. And Paul's just trying to tell you, who can do it? Jesus. Jesus can do it. Jesus can change you. Jesus can change you. But it's the glory that changes you. It's the glory that changes you. In this scripture, it says in 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed unto the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord, the glory, we start soaking in His presence. What you need to do is start soaking in His presence. Say, God, more than anything, I just want to get in Your presence. Ephesians says, don't be drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be being filled with the Spirit. And why he says that, is because you can be filled in the glory. That's what it was in Pentecost. They were drunk in the Spirit. They were drunk. They got into the glory of God. The presence of God came down and did something, and they were drunk in the Holy Ghost. And you can get in that place where you see people. The reason people go and get drunk in alcohol and drugs and all of that is because inside them, God made a place for pleasure. But our pleasure is not going to come from the worldly things. Our pleasure is going to come from getting in the glory. I can tell you services. I can remember that service. I got in the glory and was changed. Changed. It changed me. I'm not the same person. And I grabbed a hold of it. And I said, God, I love You. God, You're going to do something. See, God can do more in 10 minutes in the glory than you can in 10 years of religion. You can come to church year after year after year and say, I was like this before. But if you spend 10 minutes in the glory, 10 minutes in the glory can change all of you. It can take you and it can change those things in your life that all of a sudden you say, I'm different. He says, when you beheld Him, all of a sudden you're in there and you're being transformed from into the same image from glory to glory to glory, from one level of glory. I think the Amplified says from one level of glory to the next level of glory, that you go from levels of glory, that all of a sudden God just is there. And the glory of God gets on you. See, we need this. We need this. God has a clothing for you. He will clothe you in glory. That's what He was meant to do. Look at the Garden of Eden. They were clothed with glory. Adam and Eve were clothed with glory. They didn't even know they were naked. And it wasn't until the glory departed. When the glory departed, something's different here. Something's changed here. Because shame came and all this stuff came then because the glory. But when they were in the glory, and God says He will clothe you with power from on high. He will clothe you. He will let that come on you that you can carry it and you can walk and you can be that fragrance. Joel prophesied that the mountains will drip with new wine in His presence. When we're in His presence, the mountains will just drip the glory of God. The glory of God comes. When you get in your secret place, sometimes you just got to get in a secret place. You just got to say, I got to get alone with God. I need His glory. You put on the music, the Christian music, the worship music, and you just start worshiping Him and worshiping Him. And say, I won't get up until I feel the glory. It's not a time thing. I'm going to be here till the glory hits me. I'm going to be here till I feel Your presence. A.A. Allen, a preacher from back 75 years ago or so, he finally got fed up with not seeing what he wanted to see. So he got in his closet and he said, God, I'm not leaving this till your presence comes. And he started praying. And in his story, the first day he made it a couple hours and he came out. He got hungry. Second day, third day, his wife would knock, you okay? Yes, and he'd come out. But then he finally got tired of it. He said, I want to see the presence of God. He said he was in this closet praying, and all of a sudden, it was like a light started glowing in that closet. It was like he thought his wife had turned on the light again, opened the door. But Jesus showed up. The presence of God showed up in that closet. This guy went on to do powerful, powerful miracles for God, preaching for God, because the glory came on him. The glory. See, we need to get in that place where you say, God, I want to go and get in your glory. David was a glory hunter. David said, I'd rather spend one day in your courts than 1,000 years out there. I'd rather spend one day with you, God. Just let me get in your presence once. He wanted the glory. And that's what you and I have to come and say, you know what? I want more than just church. I want more than just, you know, Sunday morning. I want more than just a little bit here. I want to bask. I want to get in the pool of your glory. I want to bask. I want to get in the place when I can just drink from the rivers of life. Where you go into the rivers of life and they go up knee deep. And you go, I want to go a little deeper. I want to go a little deeper. And I get into your glory and I start to walk in it. Amen. See, God has good places for us. He wants to change us. God is a God of experience. He's a God of Pentecost. He's a God of anointing. He's God that wants to show His glory to you and I. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. See, we need to believe God and start to speak. Give me your glory, God. I want your glory. I'm going to walk into your glory. Fill me. Lord, fill me. Fill me with your glory. And He'll visit you. Life's too short. Life's too short to go to church and not get His glory. Life's too short to go and live and grow up and say, oh, I've never really experienced it. Life's too short. You can go and experience the glory of God. You individually can experience the glory of God. Not just coming to church and I love church. That's where we feel the glory. But God wants to do something inside of you and fill you so that fragrance just starts coming out. See, you need the glory. The Bible says the latter house, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. That's powerful. The glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the glory of the former house. In the midst of your storm, you need God's glory. In the midst of your trial, when you're walking through the valley of death, you need God's glory. You need Him there. Amen. In the middle of your trials, in the middle of your situation, God will prepare, His glory will prepare a table for you to sit at in the midst of your enemies. That you can be right there and have assaults coming from everywhere, and God will say, here's a glory table, sit down. Let me fill you. Let me show you. Let me help you. Let me give you strength. Let me give you faith. Let me show you how to make it through this time. See, David, he hungered for God. And he said, my cup is half full. My cup is maybe 3/4 full. No. David said, my cup runneth over. My cup is running over. I got so much of God. It's just coming. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's just the glory of God is coming on. He said, my cup is running over. My cup is running over. Glory. Amen. See, God wants to touch us and help us. God wants to go and show you how to walk in that. See, some of you have been walking naked spiritually. Spiritually. And you need rest. You need rest in His presence. You need rest when the trials are coming, when this is coming at you and that's coming at you. You need to get in a place where His glory can come upon you. The glory of God. You can't do it without the glory. You can't walk. And when you get in the presence of God and His glory comes upon you, you go, I can do it. I can do it. I've been in the midst of trials before when I could only say two words. I believe. I believe. I was sitting there and assaults coming to my mind, assaults coming physically, assaults coming in every direction. And all I say is, God, I believe. I believe you. And the faith of God would start to come. I'd enter into His glory. And I'd say, it's going to be all right. I'd get my little text from Him. He'd say, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. I'm here with you. I'm here with you. And He would just give me His little tweet. God tweets. Amen. God's good. God's good. See, you need the Word, but you need the glory on the Word. The Word alone won't do it. But when the glory gets on the Word, it becomes alive. When the glory becomes on the Word, all things are possible. All things are possible. There's nothing too hard for Him. And He'll fill you, and He'll change your experience. He'll change your situation. And next thing you know, you're just falling in love with Him more and more and more. You aren't going to get it just from a Sunday experience. You may just, you know, say, well, that's my routine. You know, I come to church on Sunday. You aren't going to get it just Sunday morning. You're going to get it from you getting into His courts. You on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Give Him 1/7. You going and saying, God, I want you. I want to know you in my secret place when I'm at home. I want to know you when the doors are open. I want to come because I want to know you. I want to feel your glory. See, I want the glory of God. That's what I want. Not for me. But so I can be effective. So I can go and help. So I can say, you want to see my letter? Here's my letter. It's the Word that goes forth with the glory. It's my life being changed and somebody seeing my testimony and saying, or it's them and the fragrance hits them and they say, you know what? I want what that guy's got. Not for me, but for him. He gets all the glory. And as you do, things are going to change. The fragrance will start coming out. People will be looking at you. See, it's supernatural. It is all supernatural. It's all in a place where the glory of God comes down. And the glory of God fills you and changes you. I want to be changed. I'm not where I want to be yet. But I'm better than last year. Changing. I'm reading my inbox, little tweets that say, doot. I'm beholding His face. And the more we look to Jesus, the more we're changed into that very same image from glory to glory to glory. Amen? Why don't you stand this morning? Father, we just thank you right now. We want your glory, Lord. We want your glory, Lord. Your glory. Let your glory come down right now in the name of Jesus. I ask for your glory, Lord. Your glory to touch people right now. Your glory to fill right now. Take every hurt, every heart that's hurt and wounded. I pray let your glory come down right now, Father. Take those hearts of stone. Take those hearts of stone and replace them with hearts of flesh. I pray, Father, every hurt, every wound right now. In Jesus' mighty name, touch. Let your glory come down right now. Touch, I pray, lives. Let them walk out of here different, Lord. Changed. Changed from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory right now in Jesus' name. Father, I praise you. I ask you, Father, right now, as we look at your glory and we feel your glory, the presence and the power of God, let us experience it. All those needs right now. I speak to physical needs in this place. Bodies be made whole. by the blood of Jesus, your glory to come down and heal. Your glory to come down to heal in Jesus' name. Your glory to come down and touch hearts so they can forgive, so they can be changed. I pray, Father, let each and every person feel your presence right now. Feel your presence right now. Help us, Lord, walk in your glory. Help us take those steps. I challenge you, walk in the glory. I challenge you to walk in the glory today. Father, I ask you right now. You might be in this place and you may have never asked Jesus in your heart. You don't understand all that I'm talking about, but there's a fragrance going out of this place right now.